You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
We're talking trash.
This is trash.
This is sweet, sweet trash.
Don't be talking trash.
You believe these trash bozos?
Don't be talking trash. I don't need to hear no trash from you.
I'm the trash man.
Oh, I love trash.
All right, get your popcorn ready. That's right. It is talking trash here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network on this 28th day of March, 2018. I'm coming out hot, I'm cranky, I'm irritable, and you're all going to have to deal with me for the next 2 hours. We have Chris Meany, Greg Sussman, and Chris Bavona here with us for hour one. Sussman won't be able to deal with me anymore after hour one. The bald-headed stooge will show up and replace him for hour two. And away we go.
What a terrible job to start, and you forgot me.
I didn't think you were with us, Tony. I thought you were sleeping.
Sad. Very sad. Sussmania, you would have never made that mistake.
Absolutely not.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Even if you weren't there, I would have introduced you. Because you never know when you show up.
Yeah, go ahead,
no,
Mike.
No, that's the problem. I never know when he's going to show up.
You'll get better as the show goes along.
I'm working on it.
You pop up anywhere. Yeah.
Let me get through this here. 844-843-6879 is the phone number here. That's 844-84-FNTSY. FNTSY Radio is the Twitter handle. And it's time to take out the morning trash. Let me get through some business here right off the top. Tomorrow's Major League Baseball opening day. And we're going to do something a little bit different here on this show, Tony. We're going to play a $1 DFS tournament every night, just the five of us. I just pulled that idea out of my keister right now, just when you showed up here, by the way. So, Tony, can you set that up for us?
Yes, I can.
All right. So you guys are hearing me think in real time. How about that? So what is it? You got to set up a private contest, right? Is that how that works?
Yeah. So I'll send emails, and I'll probably be sending screen names there. So we'll get it done, and maybe... Maybe we should have one listener spot.
We could do that. We could do that. All right. And this way, everyone who lost each day can come on and bitch about who ruined their previous night's evening. Now, also, tomorrow is the eagerly anticipated debut of Carton and Friends with Craig Carton, which will air weekdays here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network right after this show from 9 to 1. Now, you'll be able to watch that show as well. You can find it on the Fantasy Sports Network TV, on YouTube, on Twitter, on Twitch.tv. Periscope, Mixer, and Facebook. The show is going to start off with former Governor Chris Christie, who's clearly looking for something to do now that he's out of office, and Major League Baseball Network studio analyst and former color commentator for the Yes Network, 19-year Major League pitcher Al Leiter. Now, I'm pretty cranky this morning. I don't need the Daily News poking around for information at 12:30 in the morning when I have to get up and do a show at 6 a.m., to run a story on the Craig Carton show. There's going to be a press release out today. Everybody knows it's coming. And when the press release comes out, you can run your story. Why does everybody have to be first when trying to report news? I don't get it. Here's a novel idea for the entire media world. How about when trying to report news, try to report it correct instead of first? No, Greg?
I hate when people say that, to be honest with you. Like you're a journalist, and I understand what you're saying, Mike, in trying to get it right. But ultimately, you know, we believe the newsbreakers. Why does everybody love Adam Schefter? Because he's always first. He has draft picks hours before they happen. He has free agents hours before they happen. If we wanted to just wait and had no spoilers, well, that wouldn't be fun for anybody. It's why people read spoilers about television shows. It's why people are just always craving to listen to on Twitter, to listen to us, because they want the news first. And journalism is the same way. These reporters, they get paid to break stories first. They get paid to have exclusives. That's why in this country, ultimately, we crave gossip. It's the same exact thing. Mike, no, I'm sorry. I, if I was the Daily News, I would do the same thing.
So, Chris, let me ask you a question. When Adam Schefter sends out a tweet that so-and-so's not going to play whatever, then the whole Twitterverse starts retweeting that. Do you care who put out the first tweet? You just want the information.
Well, I get what Greg's saying, and for Schefter, the thing with him, he's usually right. He's never wrong. But what we're seeing lately, and I see your side of it too, Mike, I want the correct information. Like, yes, I want the news from Schefter. I want the Woj bomb from ESPN, the NBA news. I want all that stuff right away, but I want it from those legit guys. I don't want random beat writer guessing about Patricia going to the Giants or going to the Lions. Like, remember all those reports that were surfacing? Like, they were just wrong. It was people just trying to get the information out right away. So I want the correct stuff. I want it from the legit source guys. I understand what Greg is saying, but you're right, Mike. We're seeing this a lot lately. These reporters, they just want to be first. They just want to break it first, get their name out there, and they don't worry about being credible.
It happens not only in sports, though, Greg. It happens everywhere.
But to be honest, though, how do you become Adam Schefter or Adrian Wojnarowski? You have to start somewhere. And Schefter wasn't always this breaking NFL reporter. I mean, he started somewhere. He's a Denver beat reporter. He obviously came from the University of Michigan, right? Like, this is how it started. And then ultimately he got all these sources and he became the best reporter in all of sports. And I think the same is anywhere on any beat. It's the same thing. You start somewhere. And to me on Twitter, you know, I try to follow whoever's going to break the story first. And whether that's a beat reporter or it's Schefter or it's Woj, I get it. And for the media beat, there's people I follow also. So I totally am with trying to get it first.
Well, Tony, didn't somebody get one wrong?
Who
was it? Somebody was a 75% chance that they weren't going to go start, and then they came out and scored four touchdowns. Who was that?
Oh, yeah. That was Adam Schefter. But, you know, you're allowed to get one wrong when you break a majority of the stories. But getting it first is one of those things that, you know, there's pluses and minuses for. I'm still waiting for the weapons of mass destruction to be found.
I guess. All right. Enough with that. I wasn't happy then.
If that's all you got to complain about, it's better. I mean, life's good, Mike.
Well, how about just don't wake me up? How about that? Jesus. All right, so what do you guys make with the Astros are going to try to implement a four-man outfield at times this year? Now, I don't know. They made a big deal about this. I was reading all about this. But it's really not a four-man outfield. It's just the shift. They're going to move somebody a little deeper.
It's already being done.
Yeah, well, yeah. They're going to try to do it regularly, apparently. So is this going to become a thing?
It's already a thing. Like, if anyone watched David Ortiz back when he was playing right, the second baseman was playing right field. It's just a team that's now publicizing that they're putting the guy in the outfield. But it's already been done.
Yeah, but what we really haven't seen is it done meaningfully when a right-handed hitter is up. So, for instance, if Brian Dozier comes to the plate with two outs, the team's going to shift an infielder to the outfielder, with the left fielder playing close to the foul line, the center fielder moved to deep left center, right fielder is going to move to center, and the infielder is going to move into the outfield. So we usually don't see that with a right-handed hitter up. They're going to do it in all instances.
Yeah, I don't think it's simply in all instances. I think it's particular hitters, depending on where the advanced metrics show where they hit it. We've seen four outfielders, we see five infielders, we see Anthony Rizzo is in Yahoo and fantasy is second base eligible because he plays so far off first base. So telling me there's four outfielders isn't exactly a story to me.
It's pretty interesting though because only the Brewers shift more than the Astros over the past couple of years, and I watch them a lot against the Angels particularly. I've seen them do this against Albert Pujols, and you go ahead and move Carrera basically in left field. And have Bregman over on where he is on third, and then move over Altuve. And what they did with Bruce, I thought was very interesting. I mean, you got a power hitting left handed bat there. You got Bregman playing some left field, and really just to kind of throw him off. And from a strategic, let's try that again. From a strategy in just getting Bruce off his game. Did you hear the comments about some of the left-handed bats when they go up against the Astros and they see this? They kind of close up their stance a little bit. It kind of throws them off. Yeah, they're thinking, not thinking realistically to bunt down the left field line, but that option is out there, and it kind of screws them up a little bit. So I like what the Astros are doing here from just being a little bit different and just getting in batters' heads. Normally, Bruce is not going to go up there, and there's nobody on left field. It's crazy.
This has been in Jay Bruce's head, though, for 7 years, right? His average dropped one time 50 points in a season. And you know what? He came back 1 year. He said, F it. I'm just going to hit the ball in the air. And if it goes out of the park, it goes out of the park. If they catch it, they're going to catch it. Like, it's been bothering him for 7 years back to the winners on the Reds.
Yeah, so let me ask you this. At what point... would a team decide to not shift anymore? If somebody bunts successfully, and they don't do it, it happens very randomly. If somebody bunts successfully a lot, do you think they would still do it and just say, hey, listen, we're good with that. We're giving up the single. We're doing this because we want to prevent this guy from driving the ball. Would you think they would do it anyway? Because why doesn't it happen more? Why don't people lay it down? It's a freebie. It's almost like a walk.
But you need four of them to score. Four successful ones to score.
No. You got to run around base.
Yeah, but you're getting the guy on base. It's very interesting, Mike.
Right, but how does he score?
Then the guy behind him's got to do something. Yeah,
and then you're not shifting, right? You're shifting against that one player. Like, Mike Moustakas laid down a bunt in the postseason, and they did not line up that way anymore. Like, he laid down the bunt, the third base line. It was the freebie. He's on first. Boom. Hosmer's up next. And they're not laying the shift anymore. And then the next time you're up, Hosmer's up or Moustakas up to bat, you're thinking twice about doing this. You're like, okay, well, I'm not just going to give him first every single time. We don't want him to be, you know, hitting home runs. We want to play the odds, but maybe we'll think twice about doing this. It's an interesting strategy.
It depends on where they're in the lineup, though, and who is there, because they're still going to shift if it's a power hitter, even if a guy on first base. Because if a guy steals second base, depending on your alignment, right, they're going to say, okay, whatever. Because most teams won't even attempt to steal second base with a guy, if Bryce Hopper's up or someone like that. So I think it's all going to be depending on the situation.
Well, do you remember Johnny Damon in the World Series? I mean, they just gave him second and third.
Yeah.
They just gave it to him because there was nobody lined up properly. I mean, it's very interesting.
I'm very interested to see how this plays out over time. The last couple of years, you heard talk from people who wanted to make the shift illegal and stuff like that. I can't stand when they try to attempt to change the rules and silly things like that. All right, let's move on to the next topic. Greg, what do you make of this Ronald Acuna rejecting the Braves' $30 million contract? Didn't we just have this the other day where Tony was saying poor job by the Phillies outfielder? Or whatever he is, he's a utility guy.
Listen, it's a little bit different. First thing is, Acuna denied that he declined the $30 million offer. Second of all, Tony and I both kind of understood each other's side when it came to Scott Kingery. Like, you understand certainly guaranteeing yourself the money, and you understand taking a chance on yourself. That's what Ronald Acuna is doing. He's simply taking a chance on himself that he'll be worth more than $30 million over the next 7 years or whatnot.
I hope so much he gets hurt.
That's horrible.
Mike, what is wrong with you today?
So he gets
hurt. What is wrong with you?
Oh, you got to call at 12:30 in the morning. Yeah.
Don't wake me up at 12:30 in the morning. Just wait for the press release to come out. That's ridiculous.
Great. How much does the agent, what does the agent want to do? What is the best move for the agent? Is the agent to take guaranteed money or roll the dice knowing you're going to get 10% of $100 million if everything went as planned?
Well, isn't it kind of the agent's job to just know how good you are, right?
Like, yeah.
Like, if you're Scott Boras, right? Like, you have a really good feel for this. If you're some, like, really new agent, you probably want to make your first big payday.
Yeah.
You know what?
And if you're Acuna, yeah, too, like, you're a stud. He knows he's a stud. Anybody in baseball that follows prospects and young prospects, this guy is going to be great. And I have no problem betting on himself. It's tough for a kid, like, you know, guaranteed money to turn that down. Anything could happen. You can get hurt. But I have no problem betting on himself. Like, a little example, it's not the same situation, but Alshon Jeffrey bet on himself in a 1 year. And look, he got himself a contract. He's someone who could never stay on the football field. I like these kind of stories.
All I got to say is beware of the sprinkler heads in the outfield. The agent's going to get screwed. He's going to get screwed. Didn't Mike Moustakas just try to gamble on himself this offseason? How'd that work out? He's got $11 million less in his pocket.
It would have worked out fine if he would have accepted the qualifying offer and made $18
million. But he didn't.
Year.
That's the point. He would have worked out fine if he took the money. If somebody's going to offer you $30 million, how do you tell him no?
Because his $30 million over, like I said, around 7 years. Mike Moustakas would have made $17.5 million this year.
Well, once you get to a certain point and it's millions, are we counting anymore?
Of course you are.
You make $30 million, Greg. You don't need to work anymore. You're set for life. If you're not an idiot.
So then you're on the other side of the argument you were on 2 days ago when it came to Scott Kingery.
Yeah.
Why? What side was I on there?
You couldn't understand why he would cap his earnings at this age.
You notice how I'm very passionate about this stuff, but I don't know what side I was on that argument.
I mean, it depends on your goals in life, right? Because Kevin Durant wants to own an NBA team. If he's taking $30 million, he's not going to be owning an NBA team. He might not even afford a luxury box.
So do you think – so with Kingery, we were split on that. We're all the same on this? He's okay? He's good that he turned down the offer?
Yeah, that's how I feel. I'm okay.
It is what it is. Yeah, I feel the same way I did with Kingery. If you want to bet on yourself, that's awesome. If you want to take guaranteed money and be set for life with $30 million, $24 million, that's fine too. It's all up to you.
I don't know. I hope he gets hurt.
I would take the money. I'd like sick. The idea of betting on myself, but to turn down $30 million,
you asked what was the best thing for the agent the best thing for the agent to do. The agent doesn't get paid until he takes the money.
Yeah, but the agent, he could take $30 million right now, gets him $3 million, right? 6 years from now, it gets him $10 million if he takes $100.
Or if he's sitting in a hospital bed because his knee's ripped up, how you gonna like him now?
A guy that was a nicer guy would have said, what if he got fired by then? Like, he didn't have to bring the whole injury into it, Mike, and his whole knee. He could have said, get fired by then.
Want the knee ripped up. Take the $30 million.
Oh, man, I want to see him in the bigs with two healthy knees.
Chris, what'd you think about the Vlad Jr. walk-off home run last night? The kid's only 19 years old, right?
Man, I got chills. Like, these are the reasons I kind of like sports, man. It was a special moment. It was so touching. I grew up at the Big O. I watch Vladdy, senior now, I'll call him, because that's what he is. At the Big O, when I was a kid, I was jumping around watching him hit home runs. And then this whole weekend, they give him a standing O 2 days ago. They surprise him with a 27 jersey. He doesn't even wear 27. They surprise him with that. Then he hits the walk-off home run last night. It was special. It was really cool.
All right, believe it or not, I've got tons of NFL stuff to talk about today. We're going to come back with some more baseball right after this.
Game time decisions.
How's that Zay Jones situation working out, too?
I want to thank the LAPD for dropping the charges, though.
He's a weird dude, but don't charge him.
Yeah, the NFL will probably do something to him. He freaked out.
Is he bipolar?
I would expect so.
Yeah.
Or he just got crazy on that synthetic weed, that K2, whatever
that
the hell it's called.
Bastards, kids eating Tide Pods.
I don't know.
No one wants to party and die. At least with old school drugs, you can wake up the next day.
Weekdays, 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific. Only on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
All right, Fantasy Factor is the perfect daily fantasy site for the casual recreational player. Flatter prize pools, smaller fields, and single entry contests only. Fantasy Factor always has fun contests going on. It's better than not fun contests, I suppose. And this year's Fantasy Factor is running a $100,000 home run derby. Simply sign up and enter at www.fantasyfactor.com. Before I get back to baseball, do you guys see this story? Remember our friend Larry Nassar, this vile bastard who was preying on those girls of the gymnastics team?
Yeah, just to clear things up, since you're rooting for people to get injured, Larry Nassar's
not rooting for Larry.
He's not our friend for the listening audience. I just want to make sure.
He was not rooting for Larry. And also not rooting for his boss, who apparently is also a vile bastard.
This is amazing.
Who's now gotten arrested for child pornography and some other stuff. And this is the guy who's supposed to be looking after him at Michigan State. How does that happen?
That's a good question.
That's mind-boggling to me.
In this country, it doesn't get reported enough, but there's a problem in youth sports and in sports, even at the college level, because think about it, folks. If you have kids and you have pedophiles, that's where they're attracted to. The AAU has had some incidents before where this stuff has been run rampant. We've seen high school coaches have the same situation. You got to know what your kids is going on and who they're with and pay attention at all times, because this stuff is happening. It's crazy and it's sad.
It's good advice, Tony. I mean, you're right. It's happening. It's starting to come out. It's going to come out more. It's disturbing, and And for all the parents out there, yeah, just communicate. Communication's certainly the key here.
I mean, this happened in an AAU team I coached, and there was a problem. And this happened at Michigan State, where the parents were not allowed to stay in the same hotel as the players. That's a problem right away. And take your kid home and tell him you're not going to play.
Yeah, that's a red flag.
Yeah, that doesn't sound right to me. All right. Did you guys see this news with the sewage spilling over at Dodger Stadium?
No, I'm just actually reading about that this morning here. Yeah, I don't fully know exactly what happened, but I know there's.
Well, they were playing on. It just outside the first base dugout, there was sewage pooling up, and they basically had to cancel the game. I mean, I don't know. That's got to be a first, I think.
That happened to. Sorry, that's actually coming in pretty hot right there. That actually happened to me once during a eighth grade baseball game. The sewage in our outfield came up, and the whole field smelled horribly for the next 2 weeks.
You guys didn't have like a porta potties there?
No, no. We lived in like a pretty ritzy town. Having a porta potty was like.
Hey, Bavone, is that the kind of things to come for the Dodgers? Is it going to be a shitty year for them or what?
Bavone, you got this Mookie Betts audio queued up?
I do.
Did you guys see this yesterday?
That's awesome.
So Mookie Betts is playing in the outfield. You know how they, during, spring training games, they mic'd up the outfielder? And so during the game, the announcers are talking to him in right field, and he gets a ball hit to him. And listen what happens.
It wasn't a walk-off. You didn't just drop the mic and walk off knowing that this is a strike and I'm done.
I wanted to, but because, it's etiquette, you know, right. Bowling etiquette. You can't.
Right. Here you go.
I ain't getting this voice.
Get on your horse. Don't miss the cutoff.
I thought that was pretty neat.
It's cool. It's really cool. And
all players should be mic'd up at all times.
I agree. Like you want to have fans engaged. You want to excite baseball for the kids, for the little youth movement here. Let's put some mics in some of these players. I know Springer was mic'd up at the All-Star game. I thought that was fantastic. But last night was great. Like not only did, you know, that happen, that take place, but Mookie was, you know, showing his perfect golf swing. He was bowling out there in the outfield. He came back out when he was supposed to get taken out of the game because he knew the broadcast wanted to continue to talk to him. So he went back out for another inning. It was great stuff.
Guys, the only problem with this is that, say like they did this for the NBA, you know, if you sit close enough to an NBA game, the cursing, the swearing you hear in those games, it's just nonstop. So
it's on delay, though.
Yeah, you don't have to air everything.
I mean, I guess, but at the same time, I mean, imagine if they had it like where you could hear it throughout the arena too, kind of like how they do with the Harlem Globetrotters.
We can't do that because there's so many players, especially on the baseball field, right? Like there's nine people obviously on the field. Everybody, you're not doing that. But like on the broadcast, like there's obviously a delay. And to me, it would be awesome.
You get a good feel of. You know, just the chats, even, you know, when NFL Films is releasing everybody being mic'd up. Like I brought up Jimmy yesterday, having the conversation with Trent Taylor. I love all that stuff. It's cool. Gives you a little bit of an inside perspective of what goes on.
Hey, Greg, we had some MLB closer news yesterday. So there's some shuffling going on. What's going on with that?
Well, ultimately, it's we've instead of reaching the season and then changing all the closers, we started earlier, right? Where, you know, St. Louis decided Luke Gregerson's going on the DL. We don't really know what we're going to do there. We had Brad Boxberger officially announced in Arizona, even though people thought it would be Archie Bradley or Hirano. So there's just people kind of trying to get their ducks in order before Thursday here, Mike.
And Tony, we've had this conversation before about drafting your strategy, about taking one top 10 closer. I see people out there all the time taking, you know, two top 10, spending a couple picks early on closers. It's just an example of maybe potentially waiting out for that second or that third one. It's not even opening day, and there's three or four guys out there available in half the leagues.
You know what's crazy about this whole thing? I was in drafts where I have like five closers, and you know why? Because people kept leaving them on the board. On a weekend fantasy update 6 weeks ago, Joe Galina and myself said had an Arizona reporter on, and we said Boxberger was going to be the closer. And you know, I had read that. The guy confirmed it. And then all of a sudden, people were surprised, and they kept picking Archie Bradley. And so I have Boxberger on every team. And I didn't want him at times because I already had four closers, but I wasn't letting him stay out there.
too many shares. I agree. A lot of people want Bradley because they feel like he's better, but I don't think he wants that closer role, Greg. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think he's been pretty open about feeling comfortable being in that seventh and that eighth inning role.
Well, he can feel comfortable all he wants, but Frank Stanfill says this every day, that the Diamondbacks want him in there because they're not going to pay him as much when they go to when he goes to arbitration. We saw Dalen Betances just a couple of years ago where he had an unbelievable season.
I don't think that matters anymore, Greg, because we see middle relievers getting $10 million. There's some of them out there now that, like Chris Davinsky and some of these guys, landing some big contracts, that I think that he's still going to make that money. And I think baseball has changed where the closer comes in a clean ninth, and what I mean by clean ninth is there's no one on base, that they're using their best pitch a lot of times in the seventh, eighth, because they come in with runners on base.
So I agree with that in theory, Tony, right? Like in baseball, you're 100% right. Like guys like Andrew Miller and obviously Archie Bradley last year, he's doing that role, Davinsky, and it's a lot more important in a way, David Robertson, than the closer. Because you're right, they're getting that clean ninth. I just think for arbitration purposes, it's still kind of archaic. Like I said, I go back to Betances where you had the president of the Yankees come out and be like, you're a great reliever, but you're not a closer. You had those saves, and that cost them money. And I think the Diamondbacks could be thinking the same for Archie Bradley.
And there's another guy out there too. You know, Cam Bedrosian for the Angels. Ownership is 60, almost 70%. And Blake Parker. Nothing's official, but he got the ninth inning the other day. It looks like he'll have the job too. So there's lots of closer options out there if you missed out on your draft.
So Mark Melanson is going to be out. It looks like, I guess, at least for now. So who is going to be the closer there?
So if I had to guess, I probably go with Sam Dyson, only because he had the job last year when Melanson was down. I know he's had a terrible spring. I know he was terrible for the Rangers before he got to San Francisco. But veteran managers like kind of doing what has worked in the past, and Sam Dyson worked in the past. I know last year everyone ran up and picked up Hunter Strickland when Melanson went down, and Dyson was the guy. I expect either Dyson or potentially Tony Watson, who filled in for Melanson in Pittsburgh after he got hurt there and then left there. I think all those guys are options. If I had to choose one, I would choose Sam Dyson.
Yeah, I think it's gonna end up being Dyson because of the whole situation where Watson's a lefty. And unless you're late in the game, everybody goes lefty on lefty, righty on righty. They have Watson in there to face top left-handed bats. So because he's a lefty, I think Watson's going to be excluded.
Yeah, I think they'll give it to Dyson, too. 3-for-3. He was brutal last year, but towards the end, he kind of bounced back a little bit and gave them some solid innings towards the end of the season last year. So I think they'll give him the chance, but he could lose that job immediately.
It's actually crazy what has happened to the Giants over the last, like, 10 days. The Bumgarner breaking his finger, Jeff Samardzija having a pectoral strain. They're losing their closer. They lost their 1-2 starters and their closer in a matter of 10 days.
And I was one of the people who were in on a little bit of a bounce back, like at least fighting for a wild card spot, getting these vets and McCutcheon and Longoria. But, you know, Posey is now dinged up. He's been bothered by an injury for the past couple of years playing through things. So now this team is, you're right, Greg, it's crazy what's happened to them in the past week or so.
Well, the Dodgers last year had a ridiculous amount of injuries. It didn't suppress them from succeeding.
They had more depth and young talent, talented players. The Giants don't have that.
All right.
Well, I also think the Dodgers kind of built for that. Like, they didn't expect their pitching staff to ever pitch seven innings or go 200 innings. They had all these guys that they just wanted to go five innings and piggyback off each other. That's how they were planned for.
Well, they had position players, too, but that's a good point. You see the Yankees found a way to distract their fans from the fact that they're drinking crappy, overpriced beer? You now buy a beer, and there's a picture of a player's face imprinted into the foam of the beer.
Yeah, MLB wasn't happy about that.
Why not?
I did not hear this.
Yeah, so MLB came down on the Yankees for doing this. I guess they want to encourage like players sponsoring beer.
Well, it's a Joe Camel situation.
What's the deal? Like, they encourage people to drink?
Well, no, Aaron Judge, like, if a kid's favorite player is Aaron Judge, now he's on the beer. You know, it's like the Camel, using the little Camel to make kids smoke cigarettes.
Yep.
But the kid can't buy the beer.
I'm just telling you, he can't buy the cigarettes either, and it was a problem.
I guess so.
Gotta watch your kids.
Greggy, where did we leave off with the over-unders yesterday?
The last one we did was the Houston Astros.
All right, let's pick up on that. Astros. The Astros, their over-under was 96.5, and did we opine on that? Did everybody weigh in?
We did. Yes.
And how did we weigh in?
So for the Astros, we had said that 96.5 was the over-under. I went under. Everybody else went over.
All right. You're going to be wrong. Let's go to the Kansas City Royals. 71.5. Greg, you first.
For the Royals, 71.5. I'll go over. It's a very small number, so I'll go over.
Chris?
I'll take the under there. It is a small number, though.
Tony?
I'm going over. Ned Yost has always done pretty well as the Kansas City coach, and he's going to get 72 wins.
Chris Bavani still weighing in here?
Yeah, I'm still going to weigh in here. That's too small, 71.5. I'm going over.
His girlfriend's also from Kansas City, I'm sure.
Yeah.
She's from Kansas City, Kentucky, Indiana, Ohio. She's from all. Every team. She's from every place in the United States. There we go.
I, too, will go over. Just because I have no real feel for it, so I'll just go over. It's almost splitting the baby here. Los Angeles Angels, with the best player in baseball, who it doesn't make a difference if he's on the team or not, they don't win. 84.5. Greg?
I'm once again going to take the under and think the Angels underwhelm. I'm concerned if their pitching staff can stay healthy. I know there's a lot of talent there. As you get ready for baseball season, you notice what the talents in that pitching staff and a six-man rotation they're going with. They invested a lot of money in hitters with Justin Upton now, but I'm going to go under. I think they underwhelm once again.
I'll take the over. I think that number's fair. I agree with a lot of the things Greg said. The pitching staff is the wild card for them. They have a lot of upside, but those guys have all been hurt. Like the addition of Kinsler, top of the lineup, Upton, Cozart, I'll take the over.
Yeah, you'll see Kinsler by May.
Yeah, he's already got, you know, tight groin.
Tony, which way are you going?
I'm going to go over. I think there's too much talent there. I would love to go under. I think Mike Socha needs to find a new job. I don't know what the heck he's entitled to keep coming back year after year as that team underachieves.
I wonder if this is it for him, Tony. You think if this team, talented, they've had nothing from second, third, and left field in the past couple of years. So he's had a pass. But now with all these places, you know, filled, I wonder if this is it for him if he fails to, you know, bring this team to the postseason. With what you said, Mike, the best player in baseball.
Yeah. Chris Bavano.
I was so excited for Shohei Ohtani. I was really excited to see like this first guy to be a pitcher and a hitter and be really good at both. It seems like he's been not a great pitcher. I'm going with the under and hoping that Mike Trout wants to find a way to come to the Yankees next year. It'll never happen, but I'm just hoping for it.
He's going to be a Philly, guaranteed.
And really? Chris, I'm going to go with the over because they have the best player in baseball, right? So they're going to win.
Yeah,
that's the way it works. Yeah. All right, the Los Angeles Dodgers, 96.5. They're just going to run away with it, right?
Yeah, you know, for me, 96.5, it's a huge number. Like I said, for Houston, it's just so many wins to project. I'll go under.
Yeah, I know. I usually try to stay away from these from a betting standpoint, but I'd take the over, too. I just think them and the Astros will be able to get to 100 this year.
I'm going to go under. That pitching staff's got a few miles on it. They'll be close, but they'll go under.
I'm going over at 98.
Over 98?
Huh. Okay. No, I'm going to say they're going to have 98 wins.
Oh, okay. All right.
Okay.
I, too, will go under. I think they're going to win the division, but to me that number's too high. We'll go with the lowly Miami Marlins at 64.5.
At 64.5, you have to bet the over. So I will.
Why?
It's just so low.
Yeah, but it's low. You expect them to lose.
I mean, this must be terrible, and I understand that. But maybe they overachieve. So I'll go over.
Okay.
That number is pretty low. Go over too. I mean, all it takes is, you know, 7 wins to start off the month, and then they're right there. They can get to the 64. Yeah.
You got to go over. The saying is every team wins 60 games, so Don Mattingly just needs to find 5 more. You got to go over.
I'm going with the over as well.
All right. Greg, I tried to convince you you shouldn't go over just so I could, so I'm going over. So we'll hold par there. Milwaukee Brewers, 84.5. Greg.
84.5. So the thing with the Brewers, much like the Angels, is I love their hitting. I love what they did in the offseason. But it's crazy to me. They have so many outfielders, and they don't have one starting pitcher. Because their only starting pitcher is on the DL, and that's Jimmy Nelson. Like, I cannot believe this team could not either sign an Alex Cobb or a Lance Lynn or trade Domingo Santana for a pitcher. You know, 84.5, it's a tough number for me. I want to say over. And I will. I'll go over.
Chris? I'll go over, too. I agree with Greg. I mean, Yu Darvish was on the table. I thought they were going to get him. Don't be surprised if they make a move for a starting pitcher because they definitely need one. But I like the additions top of the lineup.
I'm going to go Wander because of the pitching. And, Greg, it makes even less sense than you just put out there. The Brewers said that more people were interested in Keon Broxton than were Domingo Santana. Then why did they trade him? He's in the minors.
Yeah, I agreed.
All right, we're going to take a short break here. We'll come back with some NBA, some NHL, some World Cup soccer. We'll be back after this.
Muscle Maker Grill is made for baseball season. Muscle Maker Grill supplies you with delicious, healthy meals that will give you energy to cheer on your team week after week. Whether you're craving flavorful salad, packed wraps, or guiltless entrees, Muscle Maker Grill has you covered. Hosting a game? No problem. Our catering packages will have your whole team satisfied with flavors ranging from Italian to Tex-Mex and much, much more. Visit MuscleMakerGrill.com for your nearest location and have a winning season.
All right, dominate your DraftKings and FanDuel Major League Baseball contest this summer with Daily Roto's Major League Baseball Projections and Optimizer. Go to dailyroto.com/premium and save 10% with the promo code FNTSY to use all the same tools and projections that millionaire maker winner Drew Dinkmeyer uses. And the tools just don't work for football. This is the same site that Drew used for last year's top five $150,000 DraftKings Live Final Finish. So head over to dailyroto.com/premium, save 10% with the promo code FNTSY, and see the results for yourself. So before we get back to those Major League Baseball 2018 over-unders, I want to talk a little basketball. Greg, Dirk Nowitzki is going to come back for his 21st season. Who's that good for?
Germany.
Germany, I would think is good for some of the young, I guess, Mavs. I mean, they just drafted Dennis Smith Jr. You're going to get a top pick now. I saw this on the broadcast yesterday. They announced it, and some of the, you know, older NBA players who are out of the league, it kind of pissed them off. Like Tracy McGrady was bothered by this significantly, and I didn't
really
understand that. Yeah, he's like, just hang it up, Dirk. You're coming back for a 21st year. Why? Why even bother? You know, you're not an elite scorer anymore. And if you're Dirk, I mean, why not just stay? I mean, he was healthy all year, one game. Just play one more year. What does it matter to the Mavs? You're going to suck anyways.
Sussman, are you a fan here of him coming back?
Yeah, why not? You know, to me, you know, I have no problem with it. He wants to play, let him play. He's a treasure.
Is Cuban still monetizing this guy?
Germany is.
Yeah.
I mean, is anybody coming out to look, watch him play? Like, when you go to a game, are you looking to going to watch him play?
No, I don't think so at this point. But I think that there is still appeal. Like, as me said, that team's terrible. But when you're a kid and you want to go to the basketball game and you can go for cheap, who you want to see? You want to see Dirk.
I guess. The way I look at him is he kind of revolutionized the sport. He was the first guy his size that I saw be able to shoot the basketball that way. Tony, you have anybody else?
He ruined it. The only guy that I go back in the day, he was the first guy, though. I mean, when you had 3-on-1 breaks, we always taught to go to the basket and get a layup, and this guy's firing 3-pointers and he changed basketball forever. The only guy that could ever shoot back then from a big standpoint was Mike Cheminski, and he wasn't quite the same player.
No.
Yeah, no. He really kind of changed the game with him and Steve Nash, the whole pick and rolls, the big man who could shoot. He's very Larry Bird-like. You know, he's only, 300 points from passing Will Chamberlain for fifth all-time in scoring. He's about 1,000 from Jordan. He'll most likely pass Jordan as well, sit fourth all-time before LeBron passes him next year or something like that. But he's had a great career.
No title, though, correct? Or is there one?
He has one title.
He got one.
He's got one.
Yeah.
He's got one. He beat LeBron.
Okay.
LeBron,
all right.
First year with the Heat. Yeah.
I stand corrected.
What about someone like Manu Bol who could shoot overhead?
In my life.
The Mavericks?
That Mavericks team, yeah.
It was certainly it was surprising that they got it done. They weren't even favored to beat the Lakers in the second round. They swept them.
Yeah. They were the they weren't even the top five teams in the league at that point. Like it was I mean, you got to give them credit for doing that because you don't see it in the NBA. Usually the chalk rises, but they came out of nowhere.
All right, LiAngelo Ball is declared for the NBA draft. That seems like a brilliant idea, no brainer. No,
Greg, he's not going to get picked.
Well, he may as well declare. He's not in college anymore, so he can continue to play abroad. So there's no difference in declaring and not declaring at this point.
I don't think he gets picked, but yeah, I agree. Why not? Yeah.
How many times can you declare? If he doesn't get picked and you just declare again, just keep declaring?
No, you declare once, and then you have the ability to sign as a free agent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about it. I, too, would like to declare that I'm eligible, right? I am technically eligible, right? There's no age limit, is there? I don't think.
But Dirk's still playing.
So did his father actually, is this rumor a fact, did his father actually make the statement that if the Lakers don't take him, he's pulling his son off the team? Did he actually say that?
I hadn't actually heard that for real.
Yeah.
I've heard rumblings of that, but I try to stay away from, honestly, this Ball, the whole family. And Lonzo looks like a stud, but, I mean, the father is a bit much for me. I can't handle him.
Greg, we got a big Baller Brand sneaker in the studio, don't we?
We do. We were able to procure one of the very few, and it's in the studio. It's beautiful, and it's a prized treasure.
It's one. Is that a right shoe or a left shoe?
It's a big shoe. Left shoe. Yeah.
Left shoe. I wonder who has the right
shoe. One shoe?
Yeah.
Well,
Where's the other shoe?
We bought two, but we were only able to make one the big Baller Brand.
Hey, Chris, Vegas Golden Knights clinched a playoff spot over the they beat the Colorado Avalanche last night. Is this the first? I can't think of another expansion team in a sport that made the playoffs their first year. Has there been another one?
No, not like this. And, you know, not only make the playoffs, Mike, but, you know, win the division. They have 103 points. They're the second best team in the Western Conference. It's unbelievable. They're 5 points, just a few points back of the Nashville Predators, who went to the Stanley Cup Finals last year. It's crazy. Yeah, I mean, you look at the 92 Sharks back in the day, they could hardly win a hockey game with, you know, some of the pieces that they got. Now Seattle's going to get a hockey team looking for the same success. This is a crazy story because the over-under on the Super Bowl, if people remember, it was like a prop bet, Devontae Freeman rushing yards in the Super Bowl when it was Falcons and Patriots or Vegas points, and everyone was hammering down Freeman, who ended up with, I think, 94 yards, and nobody thought Vegas would top that. And here they are top. They topped that weeks ago. Crazy story.
Hey, I think there's a problem. I think there's a problem in Las Vegas is that what happened is when this franchise came out, everybody bet this team to win the cup just like as a foolish thing. And now there's all these tickets out there with this team with huge odds to win the cup. If you bet them today, they're the favorite to win the cup. And Las Vegas, they are certainly not wanting this team to win.
No, you're right. I jumped on with Gabe a couple weeks ago, and he brought up a sports book, and he was talking to one of the presidents of the company, and I forget the one now, but he had said they lost so much money this year because people, the random fan, just kept betting on Vegas. The odds were so good, and they just didn't understand. They kept winning. They didn't know any better, so they kept betting on them, and it's like, we're losing money every single night on this team.
Hey, Chris Bavona,
you know what's funny? Everyone just forgot that the players that came to Vegas, like, you travel. It's like you're traveling to Miami, right? Like, you're traveling to Vegas for one night. Players are not just going to sit in bed one night before a game in Vegas. And
that's a good point.
That is a huge, huge plus for the team that plays in Vegas every night. Tony, I know you brought this up a year or two ago to me, and it's kind of rang true to me that the people that when you play in Vegas, we were talking about the Raiders at the time, that when you play in Vegas, you're going to have a distinct advantage. And it's happened to the Knights.
What do you think happens, though, in the NFL where it's a one game a week, right? And you usually fly in a Saturday morning, a Friday night. What do you think? Do you think the NFL teams will get caught up in it as well?
I think it depends on the player, right? Like, if it was the NBA, right? Like, Draymond Green would be done. Like, he'd have a three-day bender, and it'd be a disaster. Like, I think with the NFL, you're going to have certain players, like, breaking curfew and whatnot, and partying in Vegas, 100%.
Odell Beckham Jr., we'd put him on that list, I think.
Oh, God, exactly. Perfect example.
Bavona, I know you're a big Knights guy. What is your take on all this?
Well, I'm a big Rangers fan, but the Rangers suck this year, so I kind of jumped on this bandwagon. I'm actually wearing my Vegas Strong Golden Knights t-shirt today, just kind of by coincidence here. I am absolutely obsessed with this Vegas Golden Knights team. I love what they've done. I love that they've basically taken the home ice advantage and played it to their advantage in the fact that basically any of these teams, even Alex Ovechkin said it when they went into Vegas, they're not going in there and thinking that they're going to play a game. They think that they're basically going to go see a show, like they're going to see Celine Dion, and like they get kind of enamored with being in Las Vegas. You know, Chris, you said it yourself. This team is closing in 100 points. They're closing in on the number one spot in the Western Conference. Let me tell you something. They get that number one spot in the Western Conference. They could be going to the Cup and screwing a lot of people in Vegas on the betting odds.
Tony, the best thing isn't for that pathetic? Go ahead,
you know, let me hit up Tony. How has this worked out from a standpoint of putting a team in Las Vegas, a major sporting team? Have there been any problems? You know, that was the reason nobody was there to begin with. Have there been any problems with that reported?
No, there's been no problems. And, you know, this was different, too, because what they used to do before the Vegas Knights is any event that they had, except for the boxing that came in. So every once in a while when they would have a game or UNLV back in the day, you couldn't bet on Las Vegas games. So they allowed that to happen, of course, for the NHL, and they can allow that to happen for the NFL. And we haven't had any problems there. I'm real interested, though. In the history of hockey, we've never had a betting scandal that I'm aware of.
Well, you only got to get to one guy, right? Just a goalie?
Yeah.
Seems kind of easy to do. Chris, I cut you off there. What were you going to say?
No, I was just going, you know, Chris had said, you know, they may get to the finals. Just their path is really nice because, in my opinion, the two best teams in the West are Nashville and Winnipeg. And just the way that the playoff seeding works is these two teams are likely to play each other in the second round. So Vegas will, if they get by the first round, they'll avoid those teams in the second. But I've had some people that have been at the games, and they've been extremely surprised with the atmosphere. It's always a sold-out crowd, and it is like just an event, to Chris's point. I've been to a game in Nashville. They have a live band in between the periods. Like, they put on a show, and Vegas is doing that as well. And players like John Tortorella, who coached with the Rangers back in the day, and he said to his young players, this is like a once-in-a-lifetime kind of opportunity. I would be upset if my players didn't go out and party and go get drunk and be hungover for the game the next day. This is an event. Go bond with the team. Go get it done. Go have fun. And your play speaks for yourself, whether you play well or not on the next night. But these guys are going out, and they're having fun. They don't care.
But, Chris, don't you think that the coach is probably being a little bit smarter, saying, let's play our game, and then we'll go out and get drunk, and then we'll take our flight the next morning?
The plane leaves after the game.
The thing is, once you see – you're starting to see the first time teams go to Vegas, they get that partying out of their system, and – you know, the second time around, maybe they go about things a little bit different. Second time,
I would imagine 7 o'clock at night. You think you could drink till 4 or 5 in the morning, and you could recover by then?
Yeah,
I would imagine that business at the Chicken Ranch is probably picked up. What's your thing?
Gotta ask
you. If I'm a player, I'm not going to Chicken Ranch. I'm getting it delivered.
Hey, what about the issue of drug?
I'm sorry.
One more thing. What about the issue of drug policy and the fact that Nevada has legal marijuana now?
Well, Colorado also
is a million state,
there's plenty of states that had it, and
yeah, but it's Sin City. It's the difference between Colorado and Nevada and Las Vegas. I feel like these guys would go to like a dispensary in Las Vegas over one in Denver.
Well, same here in Toronto too, but there's hundreds of dispensaries.
There's dispensaries in Toronto, all over California, Colorado, the state of Washington. I don't think it makes a difference. I mean, Ezekiel Elliott.
I think it does make a difference in the fact that it's Vegas.
Chris, just for your information, I think 80% of the NBA population, I believe, has found marijuana.
I think that's small. I think that's a little bit smaller, Tony.
You're underselling it a little bit. Yeah.
Have you guys seen what's going on with this this ball they're using for World Cup soccer? It's called the Telstar 18, and the goalkeepers are all freaking out. Apparently, the ball was constructed in such a way when you kick it direct on with no spin that it moves like a knuckleball. They're having a hard time tracking it, and the odds for these games are all moving up, the overs. The goalies can't track the ball.
It's hard enough for those goalies to stop the ball anyways, really. I know there's not a lot of goals, but when the ball gets moving like a knuckleball, and some of the spin that these players can put on the soccer ball is unbelievable. So that's tough. That's a good betting tip, Mike. I will be taking that.
I don't know how much they're moving the lines up, but I don't know. Gabe, but we got to ask Gabe. Gabe is probably betting on it. No,
Oh, he's all over it. He's betting on it.
It's better for soccer, though, right?
Yesterday. He was more scoring. Yeah.
Good call, Charlie. Sure. It is. Yeah.
I mean, I'm with soccer like I am with hockey. I think they should use two balls and do that. It would be either that or contact. You just come out and tackle the guy.
There is contact.
Because they're flopping around.
Exactly.
No contact.
So yeah,
I'd like to see somebody get leveled.
Bring back Zinedine Zidane for headbutting.
A couple more minutes to the top of the hour. Let's get back to these Major League Baseball over-unders. Greggy, we'll go back to you. Minnesota Twins, 82.5.
Before we go back to me, I needed the over-under on the Brewers, 84.5 from you and Bavona.
Oh.
I'm going to go over. I like the Milwaukee Brewers. Milwaukee.
Hammer's going to get it done. I'm going over.
Is every Jewish player the Hebrew Hammer?
I was thinking
Thing. What? He's the only one with the nickname, right?
What about Haman Killebrew?
Yeah.
Was he the Hebrew Hammer? The I know, he was a little before my time, I think.
Yeah, he was the original Hebrew Hammer. Yeah. And then every Jewish hitter since then has been a Hebrew Hammer.
Yeah, the Brewers also did a great remake of one of the scenes from The Sandlot, so that's why I'm going with the over.
Sure, why not?
Underrated ballpark, too.
Minnesota Twins, 82.5.
Under.
Is that on air?
That's his calling.
Scott's Jewish. He's the Hebrew Hammer.
Sure, there you go.
He must have heard it.
Well, you know, Greg, let me just interrupt you for a second before you go and Scott comes on.
Yeah.
While he doesn't have a chance to yell at us all, what is your... we went through this yesterday. Are NASCAR drivers athletes?
Oh, God. We had this conversation again. I've gotten so many fights with Scott about this. Driving the car around. Like, to me, no, because you're driving a car. But I understand the argument that you are, because you have to stay in shape to drive the car, I guess.
Tony's point was the best. Because they don't separate men and women, and even like in bowling and curling and things like that, they actually have men's and women's.
Good point.
I don't know of any other sport. Darts, is it intramural or do they men's and women's? I'm serious.
I think it's
men's and women's.
It's like, so if they're separating in darts. Yeah, it is. It is. Well, yeah. Maybe you can hit the ball hard. I don't know. But is there any other sport where they don't? I don't know how it is for chess and checkers. But I would imagine you got to have be in shape to do those competitively, no? Competitive eating, they have men and women's, don't they?
Yeah.
I know, not that poker's a sport, it's a game, but I know poker comes to mind that men and women play together.
Poker and NASCAR are the same.
So you're suggesting cool you don't necessarily have to be in shape or an athlete to play poker?
To be fair, all these people, these drivers, you don't ever see a fat guy that's a driver. I don't know why. That's like a weight issue.
Like a jockey thing. You don't see a fat jockey either.
It's tough to get in the car down. It's tight surrounding.
But I think if you're a jockey, you're an athlete. I think jockeys are athletes.
Do they have men and women jockey races?
No.
What?
They do.
No, they don't.
They separate? No, they don't.
Come on.
I was in Saratoga. I met a couple of female jockeys.
Wait, do they separate the horses?
You're missing the point.
God.
No, I'm just saying that there are female jockeys. That's all. I'm not saying that's a sport or not. Yeah.
We say that. That's what we're saying. We're saying that Dana Patrick races with the men because there's no athleticism involved.
Okay.
Greg, go do your NBA. See you.
Yes, sir. I'll see you guys later.
See you, Greg.